Blog Talk Radio.
Hours after last week's election, the conservative wing of the Republican Party started their backlash cries with voter fraud, urban upheaval, and minority giveaways. Gracious losers would have taken note of the situation while forming new strategies to collaborate and succeed the next time. Not the Republicans. Their sudden acknowledgement of diversity has made them angrier and more defiant than ever. President Obama's popular vote margin was more than George W. Bush in 2004, and his electoral victory was a decisive 332 electoral votes to Romney's 206. So with these numbers, why can't Republicans accept the fact that the billions of dollars spent on negative campaigning yielded very little in return? This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and we're so glad that you're listening today. I am out and about here in Boston having attended a meeting at Fenway Park, no less. It was a supplier diversity business conference this morning, and I'm right up the street at one of the local restaurants looking at all the folks coming in and out. It's always fun to be in a ballpark where you can just imagine all the activities that go on during the baseball season. We are also extremely excited about what is going to happen in April of next year with our first cultural Caribbean cruise. You can go right on over to our website, www.msfconnect.com, and find out more about the cruise. It's during school vacation week here in Massachusetts, and hopefully it's going to correspond with other vacation periods around the country. We're going to be on board the Reflections ship from April 13th until April 20th, 8 days, 7 nights, fabulous cruise. Dr. Ada McKenzie is going to be our onboard expert talking about all things Caribbean. You'll want to find out more about it. Just a small deposit will get you in the door, and monthly payments between now and March will sign you up. We'd love to have you to come. Go to msfconnect.com and find out more about it. I'm also really excited because this past week I've had a series of conferences that have taken place. My last one, or engagements or conferences, had a wonderful diversity mixer that was co-hosted by Starwood Properties here in Greater Boston. A fabulous time. Hats off to them. Thank you so much for partnering with me. We had a wonderful crowd talking about diversity and multiculturalism in the hospitality industry. Did you know that here in Massachusetts it's the third largest industry? Big industry, and we want to find out more ways where diversity and multiculturalism can play a part in the space of travel, tourism, and hospitality. Well, let's just get right to it. I'm just increasingly becoming concerned about what is taking place within the Republican Party. And again, I may have said this last week, and I've said this before. Let me just give you the backdrop. When it comes to African Americans historically have been Republican back to the age of Abraham Lincoln. I see there's a Lincoln movie coming out. I guess Steven Spielberg has produced a movie that's coming out, I believe, tomorrow about Lincoln. Maybe a good movie for you to see so you can understand the impact of the African-American culture and why we were loyal Republicans for decades. My grandfather was a Republican along with most other blacks. We weren't even welcomed in the Democratic Party back in the late 1800s, those who could vote, and certainly well into the early 1900s. So there's a history of the African-American presence in the Republican Party. It began to change around the time of Franklin Delano Roosevelt, when he was president. Some of the progressive moves began during the 40s. They certainly kicked off in the 50s with the Civil Rights era, but the Civil Rights era really has its roots in the 30s and the 40s and certainly the days before. But during that time, and with that said, blacks, most blacks still at that point were still in the Republican Party. The civil rights movement continued on certainly through the 50s and the 60s, and by that time, when President Kennedy came to office and unfortunately was killed, and we're certainly going to celebrate that tragic day on November 22nd in a few short days, almost 40 years ago, it's hard to believe, or almost 50 years ago, I guess, at this point. Then there was movement shifting from the Republican Party to the Democratic Party. Simultaneously, many of the diehard segregationists who were called Dixiecrats, Democrats who lived in the South, began to shift to the Republican Party, in part because during that Democratic administration with President Kennedy, and then followed up by massive changes that were administered through President Johnson, Lyndon Baines Johnson, the Voter Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, and many of the civil rights and legislations that impacted people of color were signed and passed through under the Johnson administration. So by that time, by the mid to late 60s, many of the Dixiecrats were leaving the Democratic Party and becoming Republicans. We could talk for hours about Goldwater and the impact that he had and the ideology that was being presented during his time when he was running for president. And so the transition for African Americans from the Republican Party took place during the same time that the Dixiecrats and the segregationists were leaving the Democratic Party, becoming Republican. Now, obviously, there were other ethnic groups that play a huge factor. Many of the Cubans who had rushed and escaped from Fidel Castro came onto the shores of America, certainly heavily penetrated the areas of Florida, and became very loyal Republicans, very conservative values, and so they were entrenched in that party. But at that same time, again, the shifting sands took African Americans to the Democratic Party away from the Republican Party. And for just many, many reasons, the shift never ended. So that's the African-American presence in the United States, first historically Republicans, and then now strategically very, very strong in the Democratic Party. It really hasn't changed since the late 60s. The demographics of this country have shifted, as we all know, continue to shift from the 70s until the 80s. And then when you come to the 80s and the 90s and certainly into the 21st century, 2000, you still have an interesting collection of people that make up the Democratic Party and increasingly less diverse in the Republican Party. You have the Southern Dixiecrats who are very firm and strong in the Republican Party, and you also had many of your moral majority and then Christian conservatives who became very politically active, very much so in the 80s and certainly in the 90s and well into the current election cycle. There are 314 million people in the United States, and increasingly, as I remember 25 years ago when I started in business and said, wow, that's an interesting number. By the year 2050, more than half of the people in the United States were not going to be white. Well, that is upon us. That's happening. The demographics in this country are shifting, shifting ideologies, shifting perspectives, perspectives that 20 years ago would have never, ever thought that same-sex marriage would be the law in states like Massachusetts. Voted by popular vote in states like Oregon, and it was voted by our legislature here in Massachusetts. So again, demographic shifts are just amazingly impacting the political issues that we all face. And again, my whole thing is we're all political. We all are impacted by politics. And when you don't vote, then you give up your political perspective to someone else who will then vote for you. That to me, that's just the way it is. So fast forward to 2012, this current election that we have. You have an incumbent president who launched a very innovative campaign in 2008, really on the foundations of a Howard Dean who had used the internet very successfully with his preliminary campaign when he was running for president back in 2004. It was studied and then adopted and then tried out, certainly here in Massachusetts, when Deval Patrick ran a very amazingly successful grassroots campaign, even though he didn't have the most money. And it was then replicated by many of the same people with the Barack Obama campaign. So with Barack Obama and the people that he surrounds himself with, having first run for Senate, U.S. Senate, even the state senators, we all know, and then running for president in 2008 and now running again for reelection in 2012, you have a pretty seasoned warrior who is savvy and understands that the demographics will carry him to victory more so than just money alone. Money is important, but the demographics and the money combined with the right message would carry him first into office in 2004 and then 2008 as president and now reelected in 2012. For whatever reason, that strategy wasn't even considered with the Republican Party. Now, I'm speaking more of the senatorial elections, the congressional elections, and definitely with the election with Governor Romney. So that you have a party that is shrinking. You have a party that is well endowed in terms of finances, but their demographics are not working for them. And remember, what I'm saying is that with the Obama administration, it was money and demographics and strategy and message that all worked for him. I just want to read to you something that was said by Governor Romney yesterday, just to give you an idea of what I think is a candidate who was largely out of touch. He says, and this is, I'm taking this from Politico, which is a bipartisan, very popular and very influential news site on the website, Politico.com. I've actually had some other reporters on my show in the past. Governor Romney said this: the president's campaign focused on giving targeted gifts, groups a big gift, so that he made a big effort on small things. Those small things, by the way, add up to trillions of dollars. This is Romney said on a conference call with donors. The Los Angeles Times first reported this. He goes on and says, the gifts, according to Romney, included forgiving college loan interest, free contraceptive coverage, and the part of Obamacare that allows people 26 and younger to be covered under their parents' health care plans. And this is the quote I'm going to read from Governor Romney. You can imagine for somebody making $25,000 or $30,000 or $35,000 a year being told that you're now going to get free health care, particularly if you don't have it, getting free health care worth what's $10,000 per family in perpetuity. I mean, this is huge, Romney said to the New York Times, reported by the New York Times. Likewise, with the Hispanic voters, free health care was a big plus, Romney added. But in addition, with regards to Hispanic voters, the amnesty for children of illegals, the so-called Dream Act kids, was a huge plus for the voting group, end quote. Those kinds of comments and those kinds of remarks made by a man who was running for the president of all of these United States, all 314 million of us, those comments are the reasons why he lost the election. And Ryan, Paul Ryan, his running mate, made similar comments the previous day and talked about the fact that the election, that President Obama won the election because he targeted the urban areas, and made similar comments about the free giveaways. Now, I'm a small business owner. I've been in business 25 years, and President Obama isn't giving me anything. In fact, when I pay my health care bill, it's a big bill. It's not $25. It's a pretty substantial bill. So to erroneously make those kind of comments, particularly with someone like Mitt Romney, who was here in the state when health care reform was passed in the state and he signed it, is a bunch of bunk. And so that's why just looking at the powers to be and those who are in office in the Republican, those who are in power in the Republican Party, they're largely out of touch. They don't understand the impact and the importance of diversity, and they certainly are not using it to their advantage. I think it was Lindsey Graham who said shortly before the election was held, I believe it may be incorrect in the source, but I believe it was Lindsey Graham, a Republican, who acknowledged and recognized that if they lost the election, which they did, it would be largely because of demographics. Demographics would be the reason why they lost the election. I fail to understand at this late date, with a resounding defeat, popular vote during the election, $3.5 million difference between the two men. In fact, President Obama's margin was larger than the 2004 campaign of John Kerry and George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, and certainly larger than the margin in 2000 between George W. Bush and Al Gore. And the electoral count, decisive, just absolutely decisive. I mean, more than 100-point spread, 332 electoral votes for President Obama, 206 for Mitt Romney. So just looking at the numbers and looking at how to win an election in America, you win an election in America by targeting and working with all the people, not just the select few. Now, I had said last week, and I'll stand by what I said, that one of the main reasons why Mitt Romney lost the race, and again, I can say this because I live in Massachusetts. As I mentioned last week, I am from Michigan, and George Romney was my governor during that time. Mitt Romney lost the race for three strategic reasons, three important reasons. Number one is he made the statement about self-deportation, which completely alienated all of the immigrants and certainly those who are in positions where they want to become citizens in this country, and realized the extreme difficulty of making that kind of move backwards in a hope of coming in this country. That was a real killer for him. He also had made the comment, as we all know, about the 47%, which, again, was realizing from his point of view, his perspective, saying the fact that he knew and realized that and thought that 47% of those voting or those who could vote were not going to support him. They were going to support his opponent. But he didn't realize that when he made that statement, he was talking about veterans who don't pay taxes and senior citizens who have paid their dues by working, and they don't pay the kind of taxes that others have done, and a whole host of other people that he just totally offended. Again, his remarks are amazing, and that's why I think diversity is going to drown out and ultimately defeat the Republican Party unless they wake up and realize that you just cannot operate the same way that you have operated in the past. I have forgotten the third thing, but it's along the same lines in terms of just segmenting and isolating and only speaking to part of the country. The Tea Party and the big super PACs, such as Alec and the Koch brothers and Carl Rove's PAC, the return on their investment, now we're talking millions and millions of dollars. It's been estimated there has been about maybe $6 billion spent totally on both sides with this election. We're talking about all elections, congressional elections and the presidency as well. But a lion's share of that came from Republican and conservative factions that were trying to get their parties in. The return on their investment, minuscule, 1%, less than 1%, having spent millions and millions of dollars by these super PACs versus some of the more progressive PACs where they got a very handsome return on their investment, such as Planned Parenthood. I forget the number. It's like 90-some-odd percent return on their investment. But again, an organization, I'm just sort of mentioning Planned Parenthood, where they do a lot more than the services than you that you think, where there are women who totally depend on their health care coming from the services of Planned Parenthood and reaching a much more broad-based audience. The point is this, is that if the Republican Party doesn't really wake up, not lip service, I mean really wake up. Bobby Jindal has actually condemned the comments of Mitt Romney. He did that yesterday, and that was also reported in the news. Bobby Jindal is the governor of Louisiana, and he said that those comments just don't make sense as it relates to diversity and where their party needs to go. If the Republican Party doesn't realize the negative impact of the Tea Party, if they don't realize that the impact from their super PACs launching campaigns and a lot of the devious work that was done in terms of voter suppression and the voter ID laws, if they don't realize that that won't work in this day and age in our country, they're going to become a like the Whigs. They will go by way of the Whigs. That was a party in the 1800s that you don't hear about because they're gone. I predicted in 2008, because I was concerned about the Tea Party in particular, that if the Republican Party wasn't careful, they were going to implode, and the extreme right wing of their party, which includes the Tea Party and the other fringe groups, we're going to pretty much hijack their party and take it over. And in many ways, my prediction sadly has come true. I predicted in September, shortly after the 47% remark was made by Mitt Romney, that he had alienated so much and done so much damage that he was not going to win the election. And he didn't win the election. A lot of people were nervous and they said, oh, I don't know if he's, really, really didn't believe he was going to win the election because there had been too many tactical errors. The Republican Party has a lot of soul searching to do, but the people who are doing the soul searching aren't the people who are going to be in power going forward. There's going to have to be a broader outreach, a real strong, broader outreach to all people, which is going to impact some of their policies that they have. They're just not going to be bought by many African Americans, Latinos in particular, Asian Americans who voted overwhelmingly for President Obama. I think that our country does better with a two-party or three-party or a four-party system. I don't want to have a one-party system in this country. I think that people should have choices. But until the Republican Party assesses the damage that they have done over the last 4 to 8 years, the rhetoric that has been so mean-spirited and disrespectful that it's just unimaginable in terms of how you can agree with what they're saying, unless they get a grip on what they need to do, they're going to diminish even more so with the coming of each year. This election proved, and I've seen it again with our elections here in our state, that money alone will not win an election for you. As I go back to my earlier comments at the beginning, strategically, you have to have a combination of things working for you. You have to pay attention to the demographics with your constituencies. You have to have a campaign platform that is one that can embrace all people. You have to operate in a way where you're not just giving lip service and saying one thing and doing something else. So I don't see with current leadership and comments like Mitt Romney made yesterday after the election, Paul Ryan made the day before after the election, I don't see where their team and those who are in power, I don't see where they're going to make it. I don't see where they're going to lead their party forward. I don't see it. I watched Mike Huckabee's show the other day, and I wanted to watch it so that I could get a sense of where he was coming from. Interestingly, he was quite conciliatory and realized that the party had made some real tactical errors. He also said that when he had run for governor of Arkansas, almost half of the African-American population had voted for him. So, again, perhaps there are those Republicans. I'm not going to even say anything about Newt Gingrich. I'm not sure if he is in that category. But there have to be voices of reason, the Bobby Jindals of the world, the Marco Rubios, the senator from Florida, certainly Chris Christie, who have to truly demonstrate that they can be respectful, politically savvy Republicans and conservative, but can also reach out and understand the importance of diversity. My friends, we're moving quickly into an age where diversity is going to matter more and more and more. It's not going away. I don't know of anybody who is going to do that self-deportation stunt, go home and try it over again. And I know my folks aren't going anywhere because my folks have been here since the 1700s, so we belong here. Diversity is here to stay. Diversity is one that has to be reckoned with. Diversity is something that is impacting our lives just as much as technology. Diversity is happening in small towns in the Midwest, just as it's happening in the coastal, urban, large metropolises like Boston, New York, and Los Angeles. Diversity matters. Diversity is here to stay. Diversity is going to make, I think, a relevant and a very important difference in our society and in our world. And I'm hoping that you, the listener, will do a couple of things, that you'll pay attention to politics and pay attention to the issues at hand, and not just get your news from a couple of sound bites or some pundits, but you'll go online, you'll read quotes as I did to make sure that I get it right for accuracy. Yesterday, I did quite an extensive search on the Violence Against Women's Act. A bill had been put forth by Congresswoman Gwen Moore of Wisconsin to counter a Republican bill that was being circulated in the House of Representatives. We were hoping that a bill will somehow, the reauthorization will take place by the end of the year as Congress is in session until the Christmas holiday seasons. But again, I had to do research. I called the congressional offices to find out more about what was going on and why the reauthorization was important. I received an email, but I wanted to do my own legwork. You have to do your own legwork so that you can make up your own mind about what's taking place. You have to counter some of the comments that are egregious, unfair, racist, and immoral in some cases. And I think if we do that, and if we all work collectively, then the Republican Party can certainly become a lot more robust, and people will begin to pay more attention to it, and we'll want to consider it in the future. But until that day comes, diversity will really defeat the Republican Party. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We'll be with you in 2 weeks after the holiday season takes place next week. Thanks so much for listening.